Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mueller, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson, and today I'm going to be talking with Ethan Behrman. He's a lawyer. I've followed him on Twitter for a long time. He was on the Daily Beans recently, so I have all kinds of questions for him. But before I get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get two bonus What's Up episodes per week, kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever is on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Ethan Behrman. Welcome to the show, Ethan.
Well, Kimberly, thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored to be here, and I was so pleased that you asked me to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And as I said in the intro, we have followed each other on Twitter for a while. And, you know, I mean, I get around to eventually inviting everyone. And so this is the first time I've had you on, and I'm really glad because you're a lawyer. And I've got all kinds of questions for you, you know, because you've got that special legal mind. So why don't you just, before we get into it, tell everybody about you and the kind of law you practice and all that good stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love being a lawyer. I'm here in California, and it's exciting that some of the news right now is in areas of law that I actually even practice as well. So I handle defamation cases, and I'm sure we're going to get to the Dominion versus Fox News on the plaintiff side. But I also am an entertainment attorney, so I handle and represent artists in many forms here in the entertainment business, including musicians, actors, writers, directors, and then I litigate contract disputes as well. I love going to court. It's really fun for me. And I also have a background in media, but I am the principal attorney and founder of the Behrman firm here.
Very cool. I mean, I think your pinned tweet that you were on Fox News. How did you get the gig on Fox News?
Okay, well, that's a long story, but let me share it this way. I was a talk radio host for a long time, and I was on KGO San Francisco, among other things, and a former producer of mine had said, hey, you should be on TV too, and he started working at a network, and so I started doing appearances, and that just kind of grows, and apparently the people at Fox News liked me, and I have to make it very clear to everybody every time I talk about this, which is I was never an employee. I was never paid. Mm-hmm. All my hundreds of appearances on Fox News, hundreds. I think I was on Tucker Carlson 40 plus times. I was probably on Laura Ingraham, I don't know, a dozen times. But I've done hundreds of appearances on Fox News, and I was never paid a penny for any of it.
Good to know. Well, you know, I just have to throw in there really briefly. When I got involved in politics, I come from a more just, you know, big mouth feminist. I'm not an academic. I don't have any, you know, degrees or anything like that in any area of politics. But I kind of fell into it, and I became the spokesperson in 2012. It was called Rock the Slut Vote. And as a result, this woman created, basically because Rush Limbaugh referred to Sandra Fluck as a slut on his radio program.
Well, I remember.
So it was like, I wrote an open letter to him from a liberal slut. And this woman saw this open letter and said, hey, I've got Rock the Slut Vote Foundation. Would you be the spokesperson? So I said, yes. So as a result, now this is when I was very new to all of this. Again, I fell into it. The political thing anyway, the activism stuff and all of it. But Laura Ingraham wanted to interview me, and I said yes. And I'm so grateful because I believe that the interview was supposed to happen, and this was 2012, so it was around that whole debt ceiling. I think it was the debt ceiling argument that was going on. Something happened that was bigger, you know, than the slut thing. And they told me that they couldn't have me on for whatever reason, and that they would get back to me. They never did get back to me. And now, knowing what I know, I'm so grateful I didn't go on, because I think she would have completely demolished me and humiliated me.
I hear you loud and clear. It's and by the way, that's the business. So that really wasn't necessarily anything personal. If when news bigger news comes out.
No, I was happy, actually. I'm happy that that happened.
Yeah. And it worked out in your favor. It's funny. They all kind of stopped having opposing voices on around the same time on the opinion shows. The news shows continued having me on for a long time. I was on with Shannon Bream on Fox News at Night just basically every week. And I, by the way, I didn't only do Fox News for a long time. I was doing CNN here out of LA as well. So like Carol Costello had me on every week. I used to do one of their late night shows, CNN International. And I've done a lot of TV, but Fox is where you get into the fights, right? And that's why I presume that's why they had me on.
Well, hey, and it's always good to have those voices of reason. So today we got the news that there was like this rumor going around that they might be settling because I think there was a delay in the case or whatever. So today we heard that they won't be settling. And I just want to read part of something Billy Baldwin tweeted. He said, remember at the end of the Paul Newman film, The Verdict, when the jury asked the judge for instructions so they could award damages greater than the plaintiffs was seeking? Here's looking at you, Fox News Dominion jury. So I'm OK. I just want to know, what do you think of all of this? What do you think is going to happen, you know, as a result, moving forward, et cetera?
Well, it's a big question.
Yes, it is.
and here's the thing that's really important that I want to start with. You never know with a jury. Mm-hmm. So in most cases, attorneys are working very hard with their clients to find a settlement. Even if you think you have smoking gun, proverbial smoking gun, silver bullet, you know, whatever that is, you think that you have the case just in the bag, you never know with a jury. And so you really don't want to get to a jury verdict, if at all possible. There are times where clients absolutely want to get to a jury verdict to prove a point, among other things. And sometimes you really need a jury to come to a verdict. In this case, it's unclear to me that Dominion is trying to set a First Amendment precedent here. They could just want the $1.6 billion that they're asking for. And if that's the case, Fox would be, I think, wise to find a settlement. I think that they, if Fox really wanted to avoid the news that has come out from, you know, regarding Tucker Carlson, regarding Sean Hannity and Jeanine Pirro and Maria Bartiromo and Rupert Murdoch himself, right, is going to appear. If they really wanted to avoid that, they should have figured out a way to come up with a settlement and, you know, make sure that it was private and nobody needed to know the dollar amount. And for it to have gone this far is very, very interesting. However, I will say it is not unheard of, and it's not even necessarily unusual that once the trial begins that they can still settle. But it's very interesting that a lot of the bad news has already come out, but it's also important to note for all of us on the left who want to attack, and there's so many people jumping, oh, look at Fox News, they're all liars anyway. Have you seen their latest ratings? It doesn't mean a thing to the people who watch Fox News. And that's a big part of the conversation is, okay, when we live in this alternate, you know, facts universe where we have an entire ecosystem of pundits, because they're not really news people, the pundits, because remember, I know, and I see this on Twitter all the time, two people attack, oh, well, how can they call it Fox News? Because they literally have two divisions. They have the opinion division, which is the primetime hosts that we're all talking about, you know, Tucker and Sean and Laura and that, those types of people. They're not a part of the news division. The news division is the Brett Baiers and the and the Shannon Breams and the Neil Cavuto's and actual, you know, journalists who you might disagree with, and that's perfectly fine. But it's the opinion hosts that are really under the most direct fire here. And it is just very interesting to note that this is not hurting their bottom line. And if anything, that adds to the argument that Fox doesn't want this to be decided by a jury, because it's really important. If it's not hurting them and they're able to get away with what they got away with on the air that Dominion asserts is a defamation, and I think that they have a fairly strong argument, by the way. I just don't see how Fox wants this to come to the jury deciding it. And I still believe that there is a strong argument that there will be a settlement before it's decided by the jury.
So as far as the Dominion side of this, do you, now they're suing for the money, or they're not suing for them, that would be what they could settle for or be granted or whatever. Do you think that, like, in your gut, I guess, do you think that the reason they've chosen to do this is, I mean, they obviously, it's because of their reputation, but then there's that whole 1A argument, and there's the whole idea that Fox is not being truthful and it's damaging to democracy. Do you get a sense that that's part of why they sued?
Well, I think they sued for two primary reasons. One was to restore their reputation, mm-hmm. because they were getting absolutely destroyed in the right wing, you know, mediaverse, mm-hmm. of that they were, you know, fraudulently determining outcomes of elections, and it was just flat wrong. And according to what the judge has already ruled in this case, Fox News knew that that was false.
Yeah.
Let me correct myself. The judge ruled that those were false statements. Mm-hmm. The key here, really, that the jury decides is two parts. One, so Dominion need to restore their reputation. And two is, hey, look, if you're going to destroy my reputation and make it hard for me to do business, there's a monetary damage. What's really interesting is the $1.6 billion cannot just be monetary damages. So monetary, at least in California, under California law, there has to be a certainty to the damages that you're asking for, mm-hmm. meaning they had to have contracts that were canceled. Mm-hmm. There was something. They can't just say, well, you know, unknown future business is $1.6 billion. So that would have to include punitive damages, which means, let's say it's $100 million in contracts Dominion lost. The jury can find up to 10 times is what the Supreme Court has really held as valid punitive damages. There could be another billion then in punitive damages on top of that. So Dominion, you know, wants money, mm-hmm. for how they were harmed as well. And I think that that's very normal and reasonable, that I want my reputation restored by saying, yes, see, they not only did they lie, they knowingly presented false information, mm-hmm. right? The actual malice standard from the New York Times v. Sullivan decision that two of the justices on the Supreme Court have already said they're very open to revisiting, which would be Gorsuch and Thomas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so this is very interesting. It could actually hurt Fox News, mm-hmm. that the right has wanted to take down. And remember, even the former president said that he wanted to change libel laws, mm-hmm. to make it easier to sue people that said bad things about him. Mm-hmm. And so this could actually work against Fox News in this case.
Wow.
But really, this is about Dominion restoring their name, showing, yeah, I was right. And by the way, you really harmed my business. So you owe me not only the money for that, but we want punitive damages.
Hmm. And then, let's just say it does go to the jury and the jury decides this. And let's say that the jury, you know, does what Billy Baldwin suggests and awards the damages greater than the plaintiff was asking. So they're asking for $1.6 billion. Let's just say they're supposed to give them $2 billion or $5 billion or whatever. What does that do to Fox? What's the difference in what happens to them with the jury making that decision as opposed to settling beforehand?
Well, the issue becomes, what does this mean to the New York Times v. Sullivan precedent, and where is the line of when a news organization publishes something? Again, this is assuming the jury finds them guilty. If they do, that means they found Fox News guilty of knowingly publishing false information or with reckless disregard for the truth. And if that is the case, now journalists really ought not to can't just rely on a single anonymous source necessarily anymore. If there's a second source that says that's not true, mm-hmm. Which means now I can't publish it because I could be found guilty. And this is where kind of First Amendment scholars are spending a lot of time, I've seen recently, saying, well, don't just wish for Fox News to lose, because it could have a bit of a chilling effect generally speaking, in the media universe, not just to right wing, you know, groups that we don't like, for example. And so it, there's a real serious potential outcome here for all of media, Fox News. And it doesn't mean that it's wrong that there should be a change in the New York Times v. Sullivan standard. Maybe it should. That's for other people than me to decide. But if the jury comes back and says, oh, no, no, we're giving them $4 billion in damages, the if I'm the lawyer for Dominion and they come back and say $4 billion, I would be very disappointed that they did that, because that means it is almost certain to be overturned on appeal.
Interesting. Okay.
That's because it's too high, and, and there has to be a relation between the damages, the economic damages or not, and I mean, in this case, it's a corporation. So the economic damages suffered versus the punitive damages, there has to be a correlation there. And if Dominion says is only able to prove $100 million in damages and the jury comes back with $4 billion, it is almost certain to be overturned on appeal.
Wow, that's so. See, I'm so glad I had you on, making it all so clear for us.
Well, thank you, Kimberly. I mean, look, but it, so this is the difference, right? So we have these very emotional responses. We have our political beliefs. We have, you know, the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, whatever. These talks with people in our similar circles, and the law, you know, generally speaking, does not necessarily align. And so while we're sitting there going, you know, or I'm not necessarily sitting there going, Fox News. I know some, there are a lot of, you know, and it, boy, I get so much hate mail every time I say this. There are some really good people that work at Fox News. And, you know, they're generally the lower level people, right? Who are there, just, they have a job and that's what they do. And they're good people. And I'm not going to name them right now, but there are some really good people there that will get harmed if Fox News gets completely destroyed in this. And, you know, I'm not here to defend Rupert Murdoch. I'm not here to defend what Tucker Carlson did. You know, nothing like that. But there are, it's a bigger organization. And by the way, a $1.6 billion claim, if I recall correctly, the Fox News Corporation has over $8 billion in cash. So I've heard people say, oh, this is the end of Fox News. Well, their ratings aren't going down through all of this. They're holding their ratings, and they have $8 billion in cash. $1.6 billion doesn't exactly put them out of business either. So there's wishful thinking because, you know, you and I want to get rid of the NRA and you know, and some rationality back to political discourse. And the MAGA world is destroyed so much and introduced a new level of fascism in our country, which I find so disappointing. But but I don't see how this destroys Fox News. I do see how it would alter potentially the New York Times v. Sullivan actual malice standard.
Interesting. So, okay, let me, what if it's that the jury, you know, awards Dominion 1.6, what they asked for, and then part of it is that they make sure that Fox, you know, does a formal apology on the network in, you know, one of, whether it's Tucker Carlson or Hannity or Ingram. What if that is the case? What do you think would happen to Fox as a result?
That's interesting. I really don't think that too much happens as a result. So you brought up something really interesting, which I think is important here. And that is, and so, you know, Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity and whoever else are the hosts, you know, accused of knowingly, you know, or at least is what we know so far, is at least Tucker privately is like, oh, she's crazy. This is garbage, you know, and calls Trump names. But to get them to apologize on air would be part of a settlement agreement. An equitable resolution from the Delaware, excuse me, from the Delaware Chancery is unlikely. So it's most likely that it's just going to, if it's a jury award, it's just going to be monetary. And that's about it. If there's a settlement, that's where you might get the, and this could be where a real hangup would be in the settlement negotiations. If I'm Dominion, I'm demanding that they run this at the top of the primetime shows, and they do it for a week.
Yes.
you know, and it's every single one of the hosts mm-hmm. that participated. And it's not even just them. I would make any opinion host, weekend host. I would, mm-hmm. If I'm Dominion, that's what I'm demanding in the settlement is, oh, sure, you want to get away with only paying us $1 billion in this settlement, but by golly, you're going to restore our name and you're going to tell your listeners that this was a lie and this was terrible on our part, and don't believe all these people who were lying, and we're so sorry that we lied to you about it, and Dominion did absolutely nothing wrong. I mean, that probably more than the dollar amount is quite possibly the biggest sticking point in a settlement.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just have to throw out there, since you brought up Billy Baldwin a couple minutes ago, I love Billy.
I know, he's so cool. He was on my show last year, which is so funny because I've had some actors on my show that I used to have crushes on when I was younger, and he was one of them. And so I told them all, but I just think it's funny. You know, it's like, oh, I had Billy. But yeah, he's
awesome.
Isn't
that the best part of having a show? So you
it
can,
totally is.
That's great.
Okay, we have to do a quick break, but we will be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly. If you're not already my patron, just visit patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the tiers and decide how you want to support the show. Thank you so much. Okay, we're back. Okay, now I want to get into the Tennessee situation. There's all kinds of stuff going on in Tennessee right now. I mean, we know that there was the Tennessee 3 situation, and then there is the House Speaker who's in kind of big trouble right now because I went and looked it up in an article. So there's issues that he might have had an affair, which at this point, I know GOP doesn't care about anything, but there's that. And then he doesn't live.
Newt Gingrich is calling to.
Yeah, right. And he doesn't live in the district he represents. There was something that I saw you posted. God, what was it? It was a news report. Now, I don't even remember. Maybe you remember. But I know it was a vote that they were trying to hide a vote because they were, you know, only showing the House Speaker, and they weren't showing the people who were voting or whatever. So they're trying to get away with a lot. And I think this is a really important state and a really important area of focus, because as we've thankfully been hearing on cable news, the need for, you know, people to show up and vote in state and local elections. It's all happening in the state's house. Like, for instance, I live in Maryland. And so even though Roe v. Wade was overturned, abortion is still legal in Maryland, but it's not going to be legal in another red state where those state houses are run by MAGA lunatics. So this thing that's happening right now with Tennessee, I'm just curious, like in a bigger, broader sense of the entire picture, because this is kind of like representative of what's happening all over. It's just not getting national attention. The kind of politics that's going on. What do you think is going to happen as a result of Tennessee? Do you think there will be any kind of ripple effect that will be positive for the Democrats? Or, you know, what is it that you're seeing that's happening there that you think is going to kind of apply to the rest of the nation?
Wow, that is a big and deep question.
Yeah, I have
right?
lots
it's
of
broad
big,
and deep.
I have lots of those big deep questions.
Well, forgive me. So you started with something, and I'm going to harken back to somebody who I really, really loved in the business, a man named Alan Colmes, and he had a show. It was on Fox News,
yes.
And I wrote a book a long time ago, and he had me on, and he was always so kind to me. He was such a good human being. But on his show, we were talking about the election. Boy, this was like 2015 or something. I was on his show, and before he sadly passed away. And I, at the time, I said, no, this is what everybody gets wrong, at least on the left. This is what we get wrong time and time and time again. I said, is local elections matter the most.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always so focused on the president. We're always so focused on the big, you know, the big sexy races. You know, it's the Senate, it's the governor, it's which do matter, don't at all get me wrong. But if, as we're seeing, and it's not, I mean, even lower than the Tennessee state legislature, you have the MAGA people taking over school boards, right, and ruining public education. We have, or attempting to, because they want it all to be privatized, and they want to be able to pay for Catholic school or Christian school or whatever religious school. Sorry, I'm not trying to pick on any one religion. I'm genuinely not. But actually, the whole reason why we have the ability to homeschool is because the Catholic Church, back in 1925, a Supreme Court case that said, no, you don't have to go to public school. You can do other forms of schooling, and that's mm-hmm. parental right. And I agree with that, by the way. But it doesn't mean the taxpayer should pay for it. But the point is, the Republicans absolutely ate our lunch when it came to the Supreme Court, and we see what's happened with that. Mm-hmm. And they've been busy in the last few years now eating our lunch at the local level. Mm-hmm. And so our problem is, and I don't want to call it a problem, but our biggest opportunity is we've got to get involved and stay involved. But the problem is, if you're just for the sake of conversation, a two-income household, both parents are busy working. Let's say you have two kids, right? Very, very kind of demographically normal, right? And you're busy working, trying to pay the mortgage and all that other stuff. Are you really worried about running for school board?
Yeah.
That doesn't pay anything. It's a free job because you're not insane about the big bad government brainwashing your kids. But that's what the Tennessee House also shows us. But more deeply, I've spent time in Tennessee. I've had family in Tennessee. I've spent a lot of time in rural Tennessee. There is a deep, deep, deep series of deep-seated beliefs held by a fairly large percentage of people there, especially in the rural areas, that are not in conjunction with what Kimberly, you and I probably believe.
Right. They're not like in love with Biden.
But not just that, they maybe have really deep beliefs of back to Tucker Carlson's great replacement theory.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'll never forget going to a family member's house and a block away from this rural Tennessee. Three of the biggest crosses I've ever seen in my life that some just random dude put in his yard.
Wow. That's
crazy. You know, and it's like, wait, I mean, I'm all for you practicing your religion. Good for you. But I'm going to guess if that's how you're displaying your religion, you're not living by the Book of Matthew.
Right.
You're living by other little parts that you've picked and cherry picked and chosen at will to, you know, be mad at other people. Mm-hmm. So, what's happening in Tennessee, I believe, is a fundamental reflection of a long held. I mean, remember that after the KKK, we had the Concerned Citizens Councils. Same damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing that. And we're seeing that with, why would you only expel two black members but not the white lady?
Yeah.
I mean, it's on its face is racially motivated. On its face, prima facie. Why else would that be the case when the three of them were together doing the exact same things? And then you have, and we just time and time again, the absolute unbelievable level of corruption in politics when there's a supermajority. We see that in Tennessee. We see that in Texas. We see that to some degree in Florida. By the way, let's not forget that for as much as I'm a Democrat and I lean left and I live in California, it allows certain things to happen even here in California that you're like, well, that's totally corrupt. Why are you doing that? Yeah. And corruption anywhere is not okay. And right. So I hope this House Speaker doesn't just have to leave his position. I hope he's held to account for lying to the public and possibly, you know, fraudulently reporting expenses, et cetera. I mean, we have to hold these people to account. Otherwise, it's just easy for them to continue, which is why I'm sure that you and I, Kimberly, continue to argue that we want every single person involved in January 6th to be held to the fullest extent that the law allows.
Yes, 100%.
Because we can't have that happen again.
100%. And yes, I do think that this whole thing in Tennessee is basically just shining a light. And I think, you know, for the optimistic take here, because it's so horrifying to witness, you know, the idea that young people are paying attention, and I don't like that young people are becoming engaged because they're made to feel so uncomfortable. But, you know, I say this on my show all the time. It seems that that's what it takes. People have to be, you know, made to feel uncomfortable before they start acting. And it's like you said, when, you know, when you're talking about the school boards and stuff like that, people have their busy lives, and that's totally, sometimes they're working several jobs, they've got a couple kids, those kids have to do homework, there's, you know, after school sports and activities and whatnot, so they're just not paying attention to what's going on. But because of the extremism that we're seeing, I think more and more people are seeing it, and it makes me hopeful that there's going to be a massive tsunami. And I think we actually saw a tsunami in 2020. We saw, obviously, a lot more people voted for Donald Trump than they had in 2016. But then, you know, 8 million more came out for Joe Biden. So, and then we just keep seeing it, right? Ever since Trump became the president, we've been seeing the voter participation, especially with younger people, getting higher and higher and higher. And, you know, you've got those several different topics, whether it's abortion or guns or, you know, school debt or climate. Those are the top of the ticket items for these young people. And it should be, because it is their, it's their country, it's their world that they're inheriting. I wish we were giving them a better one, but I do have some kind of hope that they're going to continue to increase as far as, you know, the turnout and all that. But my last question for you, because I'm trying to, I know we're going about 30 or 40 minutes today, but I do want to ask you about the Donald Trump situation. And, you know, we just saw the whole issue with the Stormy Daniels indictment, or that case, the indictment on that case with Donald Trump being indicted. And obviously, out of what may be coming down the pike, this case is not the biggest case against him. Now, the you know, we've got the Jack Smith case, and that's looking pretty juicy. We've also got the Fannie Willis. I want to know your opinion about the upcoming possible cases. What do you think is going to go down, or do you think that there will be of those two cases that I just mentioned, will one of them at least maybe have a huge big deal effect on what happens to the 2024 election? Or do you see this more like the Fox News situation, where the ratings aren't really hurt and you don't think it's going to hurt, you know, them overall? Do you think these cases are going to help or hurt Trump, and how might it play out? More big questions for you.
More. I'm just going to say, wow, you got the big ones, right? So it but these are, you know, these are things that are on our minds, and that's why you're so, you know, on point to be asking and talking about these things. And before I answer your question, I just want to say on the young people, thank you to our fellow Gen Xers. We're the ones who raised the 20-year-olds who are out fighting the good fight right now. And so anyway, but on the Trump topic, I really believe that his core base, as Donald Trump himself said back in the 2016 cycle, he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and he wouldn't lose a vote. And I really believe that his base, and I'm going to differentiate that here in just a moment, but his base is absolutely devoted, because he is their weapon for attacking the nasty liberals and the evil immigrants and the foul, you know, atheists and whatever else it is that they hate. Mm-hmm. They literally view him as their, you know, sheriff that's out there, the old West style, or worse, the one allegedly in Oklahoma that just got caught on audio the other day. But, you know, who's out there to go beat up and perform extrajudicial action on people they don't like. I really think that his core base is devout. It's a cult in the truest sense of the word. And I don't say that pejoratively. I mean it literally. Like, they exhibit signs of being a cult. Mm-hmm. And then you have the swing voters, maybe the more moderate traditional Republicans, like you see with the Lincoln Project, mm-hmm. and those types of folks. And Joe Walsh is even. Mm-hmm. And I think that they can't vote for Donald Trump. And I think that enough of those people will continue to stay away from Donald Trump in 2024 that I don't see him being able to win. And so I think he still wins the nomination. Mm-hmm. I think that there are going to be wealthy Republican donors who are going to fight hard to get DeSantis or somebody else. But Trump is going to win because his base is too big, too strong, and too motivated to show up. And so he wins. I predict that he wins, as of today. Mm-hmm. I predict he wins the nomination, in regardless of being charged by whether or not he does by Jack Smith or what happens with the Fannie Willis case. There's some huge breaking news about that today as well. I just think he wins the 2024 Republican nomination and then loses in the presidential election, whether it's to Joe Biden or to if President Biden somehow doesn't run for reelection. My pick is Gavin Newsom, governor of California.
Yeah, I think, well, you know what? I'm just going to say, I can't say too much, but I have a friend who is in politics, and let's just say that the question, how can I say this without saying it? Because when you say Gavin Newsom, I can hear a lot of people will say, why wouldn't they automatically go to the vice president? Why wouldn't it be Kamala Harris? Well, some of the news that I heard was, and it's not about Gavin Newsom, it's just about the idea if Biden, for whatever reason, chooses not to run, and this comes down to choosing, that somehow she is kind of in on this and would be okay with somebody else. Now, I don't know if that's true. I heard it from somebody who knows people. So, I mean, I can't say. But I thought that was kind of interesting because the person who told me this really loves Kamala and wanted her to run. But kind of, you know, told me, well, she seems to be like she'll be going along with this because, you know, nobody knows. I think there are certain candidates out there who are prepping for just in case. Like they're not going to run, but just in case Biden chooses not to for whatever reason, they're ready to go, and that somehow she's in it. So I'm just throwing that out there, and I don't know what that means, but I do think Gavin could win.
So I used to not be a Gavin Newsom fan. I used to objectively pick on him on the air. I was not a Gavin Newsom fan for a very long time. And I'll tell you the two things that changed me. Cause I also really like Kamala Harris, right? Yeah. I also really like her, but I want to, and I just think that Gavin Newsom is the better candidate. And so let me tell you the two things that changed my mind about Gavin Newsom. I was always like, eh, about him, right? And I would pick on him and whatever else. Two things. One, and I think this is the most important of all. Every time I see him speak, every time I see him in the media doing whatever, go and see him speak, whatever it is, he's better than the last time I saw him.
He is
the only politician at that level that I can say continues to grow, continues to get better, and just absolutely impresses me that he works so hard. And then I'm going to tell you something. I have a family member that has worked very closely to many top California Democratic politicians, okay? Mm-hmm. Very close family member, worked hand in hand with a lot of these people. And he said, and this family member is much older than us, and said to me, we were having a conversation about Gavin Newsom one time, and this family member said, Gavin Newsom is the second best politician I have ever worked with in my entire career.
Wow, yeah. That's not surprising.
And in a good way, and said he's actually a good person too.
Well, I mean, I used to watch Bill Maher. I no longer watch Bill Maher, but every single time Gavin would come on his show, he would blow my mind. It was like the man is a walking encyclopedia. You throw any subject at him, and he can talk about it as if he spent the last, you know, month studying it. He's really good at just on his feet knowing the answers to anything you throw at him. And, you know, regardless if it's 2024, as long as, you know, the Democrats win in 2024, I believe Newsom will be running at some point. And you only said, I think, I don't remember if you said the second thing, but I'm going to add to what you're saying is, I think, you know, the Democrats have to be very focused on candidates who can win. And I think he can win.
I just absolutely believe that. I 100% agree with what you just said. We must nominate somebody who can win. And there, in my mind, there is no question that Gavin Newsom can win. So, look, there's a million other things that we needed to cover. So I hope someday in the future, Kimberly, you will.
Oh, we will.
remember this fondly and ask me to come back.
I will 100% because I love you as a guest. It's fantastic. And I could be asking you questions for hours, but unfortunately I have to do my other job. So, that I absolutely love. But I just want to say thank you for being on my show because it's been awesome talking to you. And before I let you go, why don't you tell everybody where to find you?
Okay. Well, again, my law firm is the Behrman Firm. So that's thebehrmanfirm.com. But me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Ethan Behrman. I'm really not terribly active on Facebook or I'm less active with Elon right now on Twitter. I'm on Spoutable at Ethan Behrman. Look, it's easy to find me. So just just look for Ethan Behrman and you'll find me out there. But really appreciate everybody and the support. And I'm so glad for everybody listening to your show, Kimberly. And again, thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you. And definitely go follow him. I'm also author Kimberly on Twitter, L-E-Y. I'm Kimberly A. Johnson I'm just Kimberly Johnson on Spoutable. And my books are on Amazon. Ethan, it was just fabulous talking to you. Thank you so much. And I will absolutely invite you back.